Welcome back to More Than Running. I'm your host, Dana Giordano. And wow, it has been a little while, guys, since I've been on the microphone. But I promise it's been for a good reason. After the Olympic trials in 2021, I moved across the country to San Francisco. I moved there for a couple reasons. The biggest one is because I met a boy at a training camp and he happened to live out there. So after I retired from professional running and the Olympic trials, San Francisco became the landing place. However, I felt like I always had a little bit more in me and I was trying to figure out what I should do for work, this podcast, everything. So I did what anyone in their late 20s would do, and I applied to grad school. And that's what I'm starting this fall in New York City. So I'm coming to you from a relatively destroyed, messy, crazy apartment, but I'm already feeling the life and energy of this city, especially from the running community, and I can't wait to get out there. Now, I'm calling this a bonus episode of the More Than Running podcast because I've been working on something really exciting for you guys. For over 70 episodes of More Than Running, I've done a very loose interview-focused style of podcast, and I've been working on something a little bit shorter, a little pithier, something you can snack on the way to work. And that is the project that is in the works right now. We are not going anywhere. We're only building this to be bigger, better, and more consistent to keep delivering content that not only excites you, but excites me. As I've transitioned out of professional running, I feel as if this podcast needs to take a new identity. And the new identity is coming through in this new format and a new type of guest. So stay tuned. I'll be providing all the updates here on the podcast, of course, and over on my Instagram at Dana Gio. So let's get into it though, and welcome on Courtney Waymont. Courtney Waymont trains in Provo, Utah under Coach Diljit Taylor and the Taylor Made Elite. Courtney just made her second national team in the steeplechase and is so positive and such a joy and a light to talk to. She's already been on the podcast once before as a collegiate, but it has been really fun to chat through what her life looks like now as, I don't want to say a seasoned pro year two, but as a pro who is making her mark. The reason why I wanted to bring Courtney back on the podcast was to bring some positivity and just that encouragement of someone who genuinely really loves running. And that's something that I've been working to get back to myself. And you can't help but listen to this podcast with Courtney and want to get out there for a run. This episode of More Than Running is brought to you by Koros. Koros has been a sponsor of the podcast, and we had that amazing episode where we connected with Emma Bates after she won the Boston Marathon. So we thought it would only be fitting to talk to another Koros athlete, Courtney Waymont. Courtney uses Koros to monitor efforts both on and off the track. She and her coach are so big into recovery, and she uses Koros to monitor sleep and her training status, which is Koros' proprietary term to describe how ready you are for training loads, if you're decreasing, maintained, optimized, or excessive. Courtney also does a ton of cross training, and she doesn't do as high mileage as you would think compared to most elite runners. And she monitors her cross training with her Koros as well, since the watch has numerous activity options. If you want to try Koros for yourself, you can use code Dana at checkout to get a free accessory upon purchase. Okay, let's get into it and welcome Courtney to the show. We are coming fresh, hot off the presses from Eugene, Oregon, all the way back down to Provo, Utah, with Miss Courtney Waymont. Welcome back to the podcast. You are one of our few returning guests.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here and I'm excited to chat with you again.
First things first, you mentioned that you just finished up a workout at home. You're hanging out with a couple of buddies in your house. You just told me right before we start recording that you've two friends living with you. You're a big dog lover. You can just tell the story again of who you're hanging out with today.
Yeah. So I got my cute dog. So I have two dogs. My oldest dog, I've had her for a little over 5 years. Her name is Rosie. And then last year, after I had a pretty good year last year, I decided to gift myself another dog. So I got a golden retriever and his name is Buddy. So he just barely turned one. and
birthday buddy.
I know, he's really cute. But yeah, so they're just my little best friends, and hang out all day with them while I'm just chilling and recovering.
Yeah, that's definitely a new element to being a pro, is like how much time you have to recover and structure your days. How have you been managing this new lifestyle of yours? I don't want to say that you're super experienced at it, not fresh off the presses out of college. I feel like now is the time, like the rhythm has been set into play for you.
Yeah, I feel like something I was really grateful for in my last couple of years of college was, because I had graduated in 2020 with my bachelor's, because COVID, that was so unpredictable. So I was graduating that year because I was only ever supposed to have a fifth year. And so I did a program called Post-Bac, where you just take 8.5 credits of whatever classes that you want. So it allows you to still be eligible, but you're still in class, like classes and stuff like that. And that's only 3 classes and then half a credit for your track class and like being on the team. And there's only 3 classes. So I feel like that and those couple of years really helped prepare me of what it was like to have so much downtime. Now I'm completely not doing anything, and I'm not even really at the school except for workouts or things like that anyway. But I feel like it's a little bit weird to navigate because you have all day to do things, but I think it's allowed me to be a little more intentional with my time and be intentional with doing recovery things, simple things like stretching or like yoga or things like that. Like, it allows you to be more intentional, which I think has been a really good thing. And I think when you look at it that way, it's a little bit easier to navigate.
Yeah, it's like a soft landing from college versus, I don't even know anymore, all these student athletes who just are like, how are you still in school? You're super 6th year, 7th years. But you also have had such a great community come along with you with your training partners. So you guys brought a pretty, you know, full squad to USA's. Can you tell me a little bit about who the group is that you're doing your day-to-day with? And then how do you get sharp for steeple knowing that event is so different to prepare for?
Yeah, so our group, TaylorMade Elite, is with our coach Taylor. And then I have my 2 training partners, which are Whitney Morgan and Anna Camp Bennett, and they both run for Adidas. And so it's been really fun because they are people that I'm familiar with. I've been training with those 2 since 2016. So it's a really familiar area, and like, we all know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and being able to work out with them, it's super nice because, you know, a workout that might be not easy, but easier in terms for Whitney than it would be maybe for me or for Anna or vice versa, any of the combinations, we can always rely on someone. And so that's been super nice. And, you know, as I navigate into doing steeple workouts and steeple specific things, it's been nice because I feel like I love running in general, but I really love the steeple workouts and I love the steeple. And so I feel like it's been an easier navigation for me of filling out those waters of when you're starting to specialize into those workouts and things like that, just because I love it and I love being able to do steeple workouts. I find so much joy just racing a steeple and doing steeple workouts. Like, I really love that process, but it's been really fun. It's been nice. And like, I'm really grateful and I'm super lucky I get those 2 as my training partners, because we all have different strengths and weaknesses, and I think it's what makes us better as a whole.
Yeah, you had Anna Camp Bennett down in the 1500, 800, just missed the final at USA's. I was so heartbroken. I was like, oh, you're so close. And then Whitney, of course, in the 5K. So do you really feel like your sweets, obviously the steeple is your bread and butter, but you have cross country chops too. I feel like you can go up and down in distance as well. Is there another event that, you know, gets that same interest of you, or you're like, okay, I do a couple early 1500s just to get the legs moving, and then it's honing in on the steeple?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. I love running, I'm going to be honest. Like, I just have so much love for the sport, and I have so much love for the process of how this sport comes about. And I love doing the day-to-day things. I think I find a lot of joy in the process of it. And that's something that I've tried to make a big goal for myself. And so I enjoy when I get to run other events. I love other events. In college, before I ever really thrived at the steeple, I had to learn to love other events because I spent a lot of time injured and things like that in during the outdoor track season. So yeah, like I learned to love cross country and I learned to love the 5K and the 15. And so I definitely do love and enjoy all of those events that you get a little less opportunities for it. But when I do, I definitely do love it. And I'm sure that as my career continues, I'll get more opportunities to run, go up or down in a 15 or a 5. But I do love those events too.
So this is your officially, would you say like year, it's not your year anniversary being pro. It's been a long, little longer. Is it 1 year?
It's been 1 year. So USA.
That feels longer to me for some reason. I feel like it's maybe because you had so much success along the way, but you're running for On, which has been a company that has seen such great success and growth over this past year. Can you tell me a little bit about how that partnership came to be and what it's been like running for that brand?
Yeah, so it's been super special. I'm really lucky to be partnered with On. They are an incredible brand that really hones in on working with the athletes and figuring out what is going to be best for the athletes. They're really focused on that. And it's something that I think is really evident with all of us. And it's something I'm super grateful for. I don't have enough positivity surrounding On. And I'm very grateful that they gave me the opportunity to be able to run professionally, because now I'm living out part of my best, the biggest dreams I've ever had. And it's because of them. And they're just so athlete driven and athlete focused. And I really appreciate that. And it's something that I'm super duper grateful for. And it was something that drew me to them right away coming out of college.
You're not on the same team, obviously, as the OAC, but the OAC was everywhere at USA's. What's the cheering relationship like when you're watching other On athletes compete? Because there's some bigger groups and you're definitely a part of a smaller group. So have you become integrated from afar with the other On athletes? And have you gotten to know them, obviously, from your NCAA years, but now bringing some more men into the mix as well?
Yeah, because of the NCAA, I competed with all of the women that are on OAC. So I knew them a lot, like me and Sage for, I think, 1 year cross country. We were always finishing within two spots of each other in every single race. And so like in 2018, most of my cross country races have Sage in it with me. And so, yeah, I got to know Sage then, same with Alicia during cross country races and things like that. And Cinta, we raced each other at Penn Relays when we were still in college. And yeah, like from the NCAA, I know them too. And same with some of the men. Obviously, I didn't race them, but you see them around at meets or you know who each other are or whatever. But I think On has done a really good job at integrating all of us. And we've had opportunities to meet with each other and things like that. And even though we're not training partners or in the same group, it's really fun to cheer for people and to be excited for their progress and their achievements too. And so that's something that, like, I would say I'm pretty good friends with all of them. And I do love getting to see their achievements as well.
All right, switch gears a little bit and talk about USA's. It's only a couple days after we've left Eugene. The steeple final feels like a lifetime ago to me because so much has happened in between now and then. But I'd love for you to break down prelims. Smooth, easy, got the job done. But I'd love for you to break down what you were thinking during each of the Ks of that steeple final. Things played out a little bit differently than years past with Chrissy Gear unseating Emma Coburn, who's won the title for the past 10 years. And just so much action in that last lap as well. But you know what? USA title doesn't even matter. It's all about making the team, which you did, securing your third spot to go to Budapest. So let's hear the Courtney breakdown of the steeple final and what was going through your head at the time.
Yeah, so we had made the race plan to lead and make it honest right from the get-go. I came through a lot slower in the first 1,000 and the first mile than I had wanted and anticipated. So when I saw those splits, I was like, oh crap, I got to pick up the pace. And after we went through that first mile, so a little over the last, gosh, what is that? Like a little over the last thousand, I really had to make a big push. I would say the last 3.5 laps, I really needed to make a big push to help keep it an honest race and keep the time so that we could run a little bit faster of times. And yeah, I know, like, I knew Emma at some point would want to take the lead. That is something that she loves to do and she's really good at. And I'm grateful that she also pushes it with me. So that was the goal, is to make it an honest race and then see where it is. And then the last lap, it definitely made for an exciting last lap. All respect going out to Chrissy. She had an incredible last lap. And I think it's super tough to make a team. And yeah, that last 150 right off that last water jump, it was, let's secure the spot and let's make sure we take care of the first goal, which is always to try to make a team. And so when you take care of that, yeah, you'd want other outcomes. Making a team is very hard to do. And so I'm just grateful to do it. But that was how the thoughts all went off in my head.
Do you get nervous? There's the last water jump and then the last barrier. And as a spectator, I've never done a seat before, but I'm so nervous every single time. I hate watching the last water and the last barrier because it just looks like the hardest thing possible. How do you focus on, you're trying to kick and also not fall? Is it instinctual, or do you have to like really pay attention to, okay, it's water jump first, recoup. Oh wait, shoot, there's a barrier. It just came out of nowhere. What is your very tactical approach to those last two barriers?
Yeah. So honestly, I think for me, something that I really think about mentally going, especially going into the last lap, is like, me and Coach Taylor talk about it all the time, is you have to respect every single barrier and every single water jump because you never know. And I think when you approach them with confidence, I think that really helps too. But that is my first thought, is, okay, you know how to do it. Let's be confident about it, but let's respect that it is hard. Your legs are very fatigued, that kind of thing. But I think maybe it is a little more instinctual, but yeah, I think when you go in it with confidence and respect, then I think hopefully it works out great and you can keep kicking hard.
Do you guys stimulate, you and Coach Taylor, stimulate that last lap feeling with any specific workouts? Does she throw other bodies in there to make some traffic for you, or just do something wildly hard to make you super fatigued to mimic what that experience is? Or is it more of, hey, we're going to go overseas and do a Diamond League to get ready for USA's, which obviously you did running 9/11.
Yeah, not without talking about specific workouts. But yeah, she definitely does an incredible job at stimulating what it's like to hurdle fatigue. Like, you know, doing a hurdle or a water jump, being fatigued. She does an incredible job with my training with that. And so that is something that you do have to be intentional about, because it is, you know, there's different races and different types of ways that you can run a steeple. And so Coach Taylor definitely does a really good job with that, to be honest. But yeah, I would say that's something that we are very, like I said, we like to be very respectful of the barriers because those don't move. So you got to be ready to do them while you're fatigued.
You mentioned in that first mile when you were taking it out, you thought it would be a little bit faster. Is there anything in particular? Why was it just like a second here or there? That, what was your target first mile? Because you guys came through the 1600 right around 5 minutes. So were you expecting it to be like just under that? Or yeah, because there, other than fourth place Olivia from Notre Dame, there was a pretty large gap between you guys and the rest of the pack. So I understand the mindset of wanting to break the field apart where there's the best and then the field. What kind of was that target for the first mile, and why do you think that it was not what you were planning on doing?
Yeah, the target is to run closer to like a 4:55. That was what I had done last year at USA's when I took it out. Same with that NCAA's last year. So that was definitely more of the target. But I think just for me, I think I overcorrected. We went out a little bit hot. And so I just overcorrected a little bit, and that's just racing. I would like to think I'm better at pacing than that, but sometimes that's just racing and you're trying to feel out a rhythm and you're trying to like just do your best. And yeah, when you see that it goes through a little bit slower and 5 flat, I was like, okay, we're just gonna have to close really hard on the back end, which we did do. So that was really good.
Do you ever communicate with Emma Coburn before the race, or are you guys, Emma in her own post-race interviews is, I do the same thing every single year. So there's not a lot of surprises. So do you guys ever chat before? Emma does the same thing every single year. And we have to respect her as a racer and the style of her racing.
Yeah, there's definitely not any like communicating of, oh, this is what I'm doing for my race plan. I think I am good at trying to make it honest. That's something that I like. I like to lead from the front. And Emma's really good at helping that it pick up on the back end. I respect her so much. She's won 11 U.S. titles and
yeah, 10. Crazy. Like,
that is very hard to do. And I respect that so much. And so there's no communication beforehand, but I do know that we will both do our best to make it honest and work best for both of our racing styles.
So I'm going to bring things back until we're going to go way back to the fall after last year's world championship. And I'd love to talk about how you thought about this whole year. And then at the end, we'll scoot towards, all right, what happens from now until Budapest. So thinking about your training and recovery, I know that you're partnered with Koros. And one of the things that you told me before we started this podcast was really focusing on like recovery and sleep and paying attention to those things. So without a cross country season, without full-time school, how did you really focus on that recovery and making sure that you were structuring? It's a very long time from ending in August of last year to now we're in July. So your goals are so much farther away than a typical NCAA season. Can you tell me a little bit about your fall training, how that went, and how you really focused on like your recovery and sleep during that time?
Yeah, I think when you're in those long periods of time, and like I had mentioned before, I haven't run a cross-country season since 2019, and so I've had a couple falls to adjust to not having races. I think there's other ways that you can have goals for that time, and it can be like things like your recovery. Okay, how can I get better in my sleep? Can I go to bed a half hour early than I normally would? Or trying to sleep in, if you're someone who's an early riser, can I try to sleep in 30 minutes later? Or things like that. And so I think, like I said, being very intentional with what you're doing and with what time you're at. So in the fall, I want to be really intentional of allowing my body to get its full recovery and full rest. And so those things are like slowing it down and not doing as hard of workouts and focusing more on things like sleep or yoga and stretching and things like that, and trying to do other things that, you know, because you're not training for races. Last fall, we did train for a little cross country race that we did, the Sound Running one in Texas, which was super fun. But I would say that's like, those are the things that I really focus on. Cause I think when you're recovered well enough, it allows for you to be able to hit those hard sessions. And then once you're starting back into a real season, like indoor, it allows you to feel ready and fresh and just ready to attack that next season.
Are you more of an 8 hour sleep kind of girl, 9, 10? Like, I've heard some crazy ranges of athletes. What is it? 8 is not enough for me. Like, I have to try to hit 9. Have you found out what that sweet spot is?
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely ranging a lot closer to 10. I know in order to perform my best, I need to sleep. And so that's just something for me. So yeah, I definitely try to aim at the least 9 hours for sure. But I like to definitely, especially like in season, I like to sleep 10 hours. I think that is just the sweet spot for my body.
So a day in the life of Courtney sleeping 10 hours a day. I think for us like listeners, I mean, me as an athlete, I'm like, oh yeah, of course, 10 hours. What does a normal day look like as you're waking up? You check your sleep on your watch of what you slept last night and you're like, okay, and let me readjust things. And then, yeah, what does a day in the life look like?
Yeah. So yeah, I wake up, I'll look at, there's a feature on my Koros watch. If you scroll up, it'll tell you like your, how long you slept, deep sleep, light sleep, REM cycles, things like that. So I'll look at that. You can check your heart rate in conjunction with that to see, are you recovered from the hard workout or going into the next workout? So I'll definitely do that. And then if I need to, I can communicate things with my coach about that, how I'm feeling for the day. And then, yeah, whatever's prescribed for that day, whether it's a recovery day, whether it's a workout day, and then just being in communication with my coach about it all the time, about how I'm feeling and where we're at. That's typically about how the day starts. And then if we're feeling extra tired, take a nap or get just a lot of good food in and fuel in the body, things like that.
I did a great social media stalk of you before this podcast just to get fully prepared. And one thing you posted that I thought was just the cutest thing was that your partner recently ran a half marathon. Were you coaching this half marathon? And how did that go down? Because I think this is just the cutest post-race photo. You said over the last 6.5 years, we've had a lot of post-race pictures together, but this is the first time that I wasn't the one racing. So was there a coach, Courtney, coming out of this?
There was a little bit. Yeah, my husband, Tanner, he's awesome. Shout out to Tanner. He's big into golf. He loves golfing. Wherever we're at, he always golfs.
Your doggy's, yes, he loves golf.
So he loves golf. And so he had never picked up running. It was always, okay, golf's your thing. I'm not going to golf right now while I'm in season. And then running's my thing. And he just decided he wanted to start running just for fun. He had some friends that he could go out with all the time. And I've always told him, like for me, running by myself isn't that bad, but it's way more fun when you're with friends, and you can attest to that too. And so he'd just been starting that. So him and his family decided to do this half marathon is actually 12 years ago, 11 years ago, his little brother passed away of cancer when we were in junior high school. And so, and to commemorate like doing something hard for them, him and his family all decided that they would do a half marathon. And so he did start training, and there was a fine line of Coach Courtney and being the wife Courtney. And I did give him a little bit of a plan, just building up some long runs, things like that. But ultimately he just did whatever he wanted, but he did great. His goal was to break 2 hours, and he ran, I don't know, he ran like 1 hour and 58 minutes. So 59, but he did great. But there was a little bit of Coach Courtney, but there's a good balance of me. I didn't want to overstep.
Yeah. I think that's always the hardest thing. My boyfriend ran the New York City Marathon last fall, and there was a little bit of, ooh, I might not do that. You do you. And I think at some point you have to be like, all right, I'm the supportive partner. I'm not the coach. I can only just be here and cheer. But that must have been so fun. And what a beautiful way to commemorate a family member. And I just thought it was the cutest darn thing, having the whole family come out and really celebrate the sport that you love, but with everyone else in your family. Because sometimes we might be runners, but our whole family aren't runners as well.
Yeah, I know. And I think something too is I think Tanner, he's been so supportive, and I've been so grateful and very lucky to have him and how supportive he is of me and has been for the 7 years we've been together. But I think it was cool to have him see the other side of it and like what it feels like to finish a race. Cause I don't think you necessarily need to be running at a certain level to finish a race and feel like, I feel really accomplished. Like I just did something super hard and I put my body through something hard, but like I worked hard for that. I think it was fun to see him have those same feelings about himself. And but something that I find so much joy and love and passion out of. So it was fun for him to just see a glimpse into my world too. And it was fun to have a new way to connect with him, but definitely a fine line of being like, okay, yeah, you just went out and ran like 10 miles. That's fine. It's fine. You've never done that before, but it's fine.
You're like, maybe stretch once.
I know. I was like, do you ever like stretch before you run? And he's no. I'm like, yeah, okay. You just do what you're going to do. That sounds great.
Just get out there. I'm like, the real question is, do you ever golf?
No. So I don't golf. We went one time in 2017 and we were not good golfing partners. And so I've been like, okay, that can be your thing. And I'll just have running be my thing. So I don't golf with him, but maybe in the fall I will go out and I will just, you know, be in the club or like in the cart with him while he golfs. I can do that.
The driving range is pretty fun if you ever want to give it a second go.
I know. And they just made a Topgolf right next to us. So that could be very fun too. And we have done that a couple of times. That was like our very first date, I think, or second date or something like that.
That's fate. You have to go back.
I know, I know. He would love that.
All right, Courtney, it is July 13th when we're recording this. You've got about a month until Budapest. So the last year at Worlds, just going back to Eugene, is within the U.S. But this year, you're going back across the world to compete against the world's best. Have you taken a couple days after USA's to decompress and think about, like, all right, I understand what this means. We've got some work to do. But what are the emotions that go through your head after making a team? And how quickly can you transfer from, all right, I'm recovered, let's get back to work?
Yeah, I think the first day or two, you're just really grateful that you had another opportunity to line up with this country's best. I think about that a lot, where I'm like, all of these women are lining up, and this is on this day, who is the best? And, you know, getting that opportunity and then being able to represent the USA on a world level, it's an honor. And so, like, just feeling a lot of gratitude for that and feeling a lot of, like, it's excitement about it and feeling excited that I get to do it with, you know, with Emma and Chrissy. That's a great team, and I'm excited to be on the team with them. And then just putting your head down and getting back to work. We did what we wanted to do in terms of making the team. And so now let's get ready, because that was the way to unlock the rest of the goals and the progression of the season. And so it's just putting our head back down and getting to work. And like next week, I'll go race in London at the Diamond League there. And so that will be another start this summer of international and overseas racing. And so do that in preparations for Budapest. But yeah, it's definitely take the time to feel that gratitude, and then let's put our head down and get back to work.
So will you come back after London as well? You've got a lot of travel on the schedule.
I know. So yeah, I'll come back after London, make it a quick trip, and then just come back here and train back here in Provo and stay out here until it's time to get ready to head to Budapest.
What are some of your tricks of the trade for recovering on those like really big travel? I feel like athletes have it on lock of how to sleep on a plane, how to adjust to a time zone really quickly. You raced quite recently overseas. So is there something you learned then that you're going to take to this new adventure to London? Also, London is by far the best stadium to run. Have you run in that stadium?
No, I have not. This will be my third time racing overseas. The first one was last summer, and then the second one was earlier in Florence.
It is like the most beautiful stadium ever, because obviously it's where the London 2012 Olympics were, but the fans there love track. They're obsessed with it, and they like know everyone, and they're just so dialed in. I was there so many years ago, but I got to see, it was like one of Mo Farah's like last track races. So it was really special. So you're going to absolutely love it. But how do you, yeah, this is third time's the charm for going overseas.
Yeah, I would love that. So it's really exciting. I'm excited to be in London and to experience that. I think that's something that's been, I think, part of what it is of being able to race overseas is just getting that experience. I think like when you're traveling, something that I've learned and I talk about a lot, but sleep, like you have to sleep on that plane, whether you need to take like a Tylenol PM or something, I don't know, but like you need to sleep so that when you get there, you have to stay awake and just pretend like you're already on the time zone. That is something that I've learned, is it doesn't matter how tired you are, even if it's 6 PM, like you need to stay awake till like 9. And you know, for some of them, like, and when we were in Florence, I didn't race till 9:45 at night anyway. And so it was like, okay, you have to stay awake till then anyway. So you just have to keep yourself awake and just pretend like you're on the time zone. And I think your body adjusts and follows suit. And I think it's nice because when you're there, you're surrounded by all the other athletes that are also in the same boat. And so you're all on the same schedule and you can find people to link up with and run and do meals together and things like that. So I think if you can figure out the sleep and hydration part of it, I think that's what helps a lot, is what I found in my short two experiences.
Lots of experiences on deck as well. Do you like pack your own food too? Or are you like pretty flexible when it comes to, I feel like the Mead Hotel does a good job of providing options for you guys.
Yeah. Most of the time I'll pack at least my own food just so I know I have stuff just in case, like if you were taking a nap or, I don't know, something or another, and you happened to miss the lunch hours or the lunch hours were different than what you thought, then I at least know that I have something in my room that I can always eat and take care of, especially for like pre-race meals. I've been trying to learn to be a little more flexible and being okay not having a specific, like, down to the everything that's normal. I've been learning to let a little bit of that go and be a little more flexible, but I definitely am someone who does bring food so that I always have something if I need it for whatever reason.
Last year when you went overseas, obviously was to Monaco, which is such an iconic meet, coming away with a personal best. Now that the check the box, make the team is off the charts, is this where you're really going to test yourself to be like, hey, like I want a new PR. Like, this is the year to do.
Yeah. It's funny because I haven't even talked to my coach about what the goal for London is yet. And it's next week, but I would like to see, I want to see how ready I am and how fit I am and capitalize on the fitness that I showcased and gained at USA's. I think that would always be good. And if that comes away with a PR, I would be very happy with that. PR is a PR. And I think it's a great opportunity to get more experience and to run fast. And so that for me, as of right now, is the goal is, let's see how fit we are for right now in July.
Do you follow like the international circuit a lot? Or are you like more of a heads down, pay attention to yourself, do the work out of season? Because the women's steeplechase has just become such a robust event, especially women breaking down that 9-minute barrier. And there's been a lot of great races this season, obviously one you participated in. But are you more of the athlete that's more of, I'll pay attention when I'm involved, or are you more of keeping eyes on what's going on over there on the international scene?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more, I lean more towards the athlete of I'll pay attention when I'm involved. I think it's good to know who's doing what and what times are being run and things like that. I think it's good to be aware just so, you're aware of who's where and who's doing what. And I think that's really helpful, but I don't weigh too heavily in other people's races or their times because you don't see what is going on. You don't know what their training's looking like, or you don't know things like that. So I feel like I have a good, healthy balance of, okay, this person's running super fast, or these people are running fast, or they ran fast at this meet, and that's awesome. Great for them, really happy for them. And then we'll think about it when it's time for me to go. But I think that is something that I've enjoyed, is just keeping my head in my own head and just worrying about myself.
And some of these international races can get really physical, especially with the different styles of hurdling. We saw some really nasty falls early this season. How do you like to prepare, like, the physicality? I know you said you love steeple, which means you obviously like jumping over things, which means you have to have a certain, it's not just running, there's a certain physicality to it. So how do you prepare, other than just going over steeple barriers, to feel like very fit and ready for those more physical races?
Yeah, I think something that I've noticed is, even though it is a lot more physical when you're racing with more international people than it maybe is in the US, I think something that I think most people are pretty good at, allowing windows. So you'll open up a little bit of a window so everyone can find their slot. But I think, that was definitely a big shocker to me last year, is just, navigating or like different hurdling styles. Like, I know you'll sometimes bump people or things like that because you're not used to that kind of hurdling style. And I think it's just something to navigate. And I think something that I've just learned is you always need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and in a place that you're safe, and not when you're like going over a barrier or going into the barrier, you know that you're safe and you have your own enough space that you can get over without hitting someone else and without hitting you. And it's just in the middle of the race things that you have to navigate. And if you have to move to the outside or fit in between two people, then that's just what you do. But I think a lot of that does come with experience, I think, too. But it's definitely unique. But I feel like everyone is, for the most part, pretty good at that most of the time, of just allowing.
Yeah, until those final two laps, and then everything goes out the window.
You don't even know what's going to happen. But it does get a little bit crazy the last 600. But
Do you guys spend a lot of time in the gym, like supporting what you guys are doing off? Or would you say it's stayed the same since school, having like the balance of gym time versus like flatland training?
Yeah, I think it has changed a little bit just because I think it has to going from collegiate to pro world. But yeah, Coach Taylor has done a good job at helping balance out things that we do in the gym to help us in conjunction with the track stuff to just help enhance the stuff that we're doing on the track too.
Does Coach Taylor program your strength training or do you have support from the school still?
Yeah, Coach Taylor, she does all of my stuff. So she's just...
Oh, wow. She's a woman of many talents.
She is. She really is. And she's so intentional with us. And she really does what's best for all of us and, you know, what each person needs. And she's so good at knowing what is best for each one of us. And that's something that, like, I think that is just one of her best qualities is she's so good at helping each one of us individually. And it looks different for all of us all the time. And she is a woman of many talents. She's incredible.
All right, Courtney, my last question for you. You are now not the new kid on the block. What is one thing you wish that people knew about you, either as a person or an athlete?
Oh, man. I feel like if there was one thing that people could take away as me as a person or an athlete is I would love for people to know that, you know, I want to help create this sport as a little bit deeper than running. I want it to mean a little bit more and be able to walk away from my career knowing that like I got to meet a lot of people and I got to make a lot of friendships and people felt a lot of love from me. Like that's what I want is I want those interactions and hope I'm never going to be perfect at that. But that's something that I would hope that people would get to know about me is that I would care about them deeper than a competitor or a runner. And I would care about them as a friend and just offer so much love to people because I think at the end of the day, like that's what's most important. And I love it. Like I love getting to compete with all these people, but I love getting to know who they are and what makes them tick. And I think when you see those behind the scenes of those things, I think it just adds so much more emphasis even more to what people are doing on the track. So I think that would be the thing that I would want.
You posted a photo of you practically smiling on the track. And I feel like that love is just exuding out of you, whether it was a brief moment in time or not, but I'm sure that your fellow competitors and friends and everyone else who's around you feels the same way. Thank you so much for coming on, Courtney, and best of luck this summer in London and Budapest. We can't wait to follow your international tour.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. And it was great to chat with you again. And just thanks again.
And that's all for another episode of More Than Running. Stay tuned for all of the newness that's coming up. I'm a girl who loves seasons, and fall is transformational, and it brings change. And I'm just so excited to bring more conversations to you guys. I really do feel like I have a renewed sense of energy and passion, and I want to continue building this community. So if you stuck around this long, thank you for your support. As always, you can find me over on Instagram if you ever want to send a message, chat, give any ideas for guests. I'm all ears. I also want to give a big thank you to Koros for sponsoring this episode. I hope you guys like learning about the data. It's fascinating to me as a lifelong runner, but also just to understand how we all approach it differently. If you want to try Koros for yourself, you can use code Dana for a free accessory at checkout. Until next time, keep on running.